You don't know what you're talking about, do you?
Sir?
I said, you don't know what you're talking about.
You can't handle the truth.
Everyone, welcome to the podcast. It is April 3rd, 2024. Wednesday. Sorry I didn't get to an edition of Tuesdays with Perry last night. I got too much to do. Anyway, this Wednesday, top stories for today. Trump numbers in the swing states are still crushing. Debt and avian flu worries as American prepares to be eclipsed. And World War III and AI takeover are imminent as the elite build new AI cities and redoubts in preparation for the new world. Don't forget to like and subscribe, leave a comment, engage the channel, click that notification icon. So let's get into breaking headlines for today, Wednesday, April 4th. All right, so we're going to start out with a headline from the New York Times. This is breaking news. A strong Taiwan quake kills 9, injures hundreds. The earthquake was the most powerful to hit the island in 25 years. Dozens of people remained trapped and many buildings were damaged, with the worst centered in the city of Hualien. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. So my question is this an attack? An earthquake attack by the Chinese on the island of Taiwan? The United States has been engaged in such types of geological attacks. It's easy to spur an earthquake. You put a explosive device on a low yield nuclear device in the ocean or in a fault, which triggers a earthquake. We experimented this in the Indian Ocean with tsunamis and experimented on Haiti, creating earthquakes there, among other places as well. So this could very well be a geological weapon that is used by China to attack Taiwan. Wouldn't surprise me if that indeed were the case. Moving on to other headlines. The Wall Street Journal reports Trump leads Biden in 6 of 7 swing states. One of their polls finds incumbent trails in most battlegrounds that decided the 2016 and 2020 elections. 2020 elections, sure, if you believe that. Also from the AFP, Trump reprises bloodbath claim in immigration speeches. And just reading from the story here, Donald Trump doubled down on his heavily criticized warning of a coming American bloodbath Tuesday as he told supporters U.S. communities face plunder, rape, and slaughter at the hands of illegal immigrants. The criminal elements of such illegal immigrants, obviously. In some of the most inflammatory comments to date on the border security, says AFP, Trump accused President Joe Biden of unleashing carnage, chaos, and killing in a country he said was flooded with drugs and besieged with foreign criminal gangs. Indeed, he went on to say, Trump did, I stand before you today to declare that Joe Biden's border bloodbath, it's a bloodbath and it's destroying our country and it's a very bad thing happening, he said in an apocalyptic campaign speech in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Indeed. More headlines from the New York Post, which just solidifies what Trump just said. Known terrorists spent years in U.S. after being wrongly released by feds, and GOP lawmakers demand answers. The story from the New York Post goes on to say, Somali terrorist was allowed into the country and was able to operate freely for almost a year before authorities realized their error and rearrested him. Republican lawmakers are demanding information from Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas about what happened to the man. and whether U.S. citizens funded any part of his journey to or stay in the U.S. Of course they did. The 27-year-old Somalian, who so far has not been identified by name, was on the watch list as a confirmed member of Al-Shabaab, involved in the use, manufacture, and transportation of explosives and firearms, but border bungle meant he was released after initially being arrested for crossing into the country illegally in California in March of 2023. Not surprising, and this is the problem, and the Democrats always align themselves with criminal elements. They always like to have terrorists on hand. They often help clandestinely through the CIA to help jailbreak imprisoned terrorists in other countries so they can use these known terrorists that are part of the CIA database, also known as Al-Qaeda, to attack interest and sow chaos. Who knows if they're planning that in the U.S.? I would say yes. If the poll numbers stay the same with Trump still leading in a lot of battleground states. Going on into other headlines, the U.S. told Russia that Crocus City Hall was possible target of attack, and they're talking about the terrorist attack there in the city of Moscow. And it's just the timing seems suspect to think that U.S. Western intelligence didn't have anything to do with this attack is just ridiculous or laughable, foolish, unreasonable, or irrational, idiotic, even to think that that was the case, that Western intelligence is not nearly involved. And we know from past experience of the CIA and Western intelligence, including British intelligence going all the way back to Lawrence of Arabia, has been involved in stoking Islamic militancy. And they do have control, particularly of groups like ISIS, but Al-Qaeda before these are all fictitious groups. It was actually ISIL, I-S and I-L, which meant Islamists from Syria and Islamists from Libya. That's where ISIL came from. And they said, no, it's the Islamic State in the Levant. But that doesn't translate in Arabic anyway. That's an English version. And they are known, I think, in Arabic as Layesh or something like that. So moving on to this story, we'll go into the text here. More than 2 weeks before terrorists staged a bloody attack in the suburbs of Moscow, the U.S. government had told Russia officials that the Crocus City Hall, a popular concert venue, was a potential target, according to U.S. officials familiar with the matter. High degree of specificity conveyed in the warning underscores Washington's confidence and involvement that the Islamic State was preparing an attack that threatened large numbers of civilians, and it directly contradicts Moscow's claims that the U.S. warnings were too general to help preempt the assault. The reasoning behind this is because the Crocus City Hall was mentioned among 100 other targets. Now, this would be good in figuring out how the Russians and the FSB would disseminate or disperse their security forces in the event of a warning. So it's like whack-a-mole. If you send people, if you send security services try to engage in whack-a-mole, they may or may not stop the attack in the first place. They didn't say it's definitely going to be Crocus City Hall. They mentioned it among 100 other targets. Who knows, probably all around Russia, in a way to either map security deployment or to sow chaos within the security services, which the attack did anyway. Moving on to other headlines, I usually don't quote Breitbart, but they had this headline, which is interesting, and it is indicative of establishment turtle Mitch McConnell, who at 82 vows to remain in Senate to fight his own party. What do you mean by this? Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican from Kentucky, intends to remain in the U.S. Senate to oppose conservatives who support a truce between Russia and Ukraine. And it's not even these conservatives support a truce, which most Americans do, the constituency do, But the conservatives, being conservative, don't want to fund a foreign war with our tax dollars. So they, McConnell goes on to say he announced in February he would step down as Senate minority leader at the end of the cycle following health issues and incidents of freezing up during press conferences. He is the longest serving party leader in Senate history. In an interview with WAS, W-H-A-S, Terry Miner asked McConnell what his mindset is when your feet hit the floor in the morning. I'm not leaving the Senate, McConnell said. I'm particularly involved in actually fighting back against the isolationist movement in my own party, which is the Tea Party. And there's a typo there, the symbol of the lately is, are we going to help Ukraine or not? I say not. And a lot of people say not because it's not our fight. And first of all, most people know the foreign politics going on here with the expansion of NATO and what exactly is going on with the news tightening around Russia, who really isn't our ideological enemy anymore. Sure, Putin may be a despot and there might be some authoritarian leanings and all that kind of stuff. Okay, whatever. I don't live in Russia, so that's not my fight. But the Russians aren't communist anymore, and so they're not ideologically opposed to the free market liberties we have here. But I digress. I don't want to have an open-ended war with a nuclear power for no reason, really, and to waste Ukraine or lay Ukraine to waste for engaging on such in a battle of attrition against the Russians. Moving on to other headlines, the Wall Street Journal, Biden warns Xi on aiding Russia's war in Ukraine. So China can aid Russia, but we are fighting to aid Ukraine. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I say we don't aid Ukraine, and then we tell China not to aid Russia. Because with the war in Ukraine, what we have done is driven Russia and China together, which as an alliance is formidable. The Daily Beast is also reporting panic as drone strikes a record 800 miles inside Russia. A factory deep inside Russia, just reading from the text here, that was accused of assembling an Iranian drone, attack drones to for use against Ukraine. Let me read that again. This doesn't make much sense. A factory deep inside Russia that was accused of assembling Iranian attack drones for use against Ukraine came under attack early Tuesday, injuring at least 12 people. Russia's third biggest oil refinery was also hit in a brazen early morning attack in Tartistan, which is at least 800 miles from the front line in Ukraine, the deepest of any attack in Russia since the war began. While Kiev has not officially taken credit, an unnamed source in Ukraine's military was quoted in telling the Ukrainian Pravda that the attack was carried out by military intelligence. Yeah, military intelligence. I don't know if it was Ukrainian military intelligence, but it might very well have been military intelligence, U.S. military intelligence, or just intelligence operatives, probably by the CIA. CNN World, Iran vows revenge and accuses Israel of deadly strike on Syria, consulate and deepening Middle East crisis. Accuses Israel. Israel claimed credit for the attack. And the Daily Express U.S. says huge American flag-burning protests erupt as Iran vows revenge for deadly Israeli strikes. So what are we doing? We're just, again, now that we don't have a foot in Saudi Arabia with, was it MBS? That we don't have the ability to foment directly group militant Islam in Saudi Arabia and in the Middle East per se. That's why we're doing it in other places. That what we're doing is we're poking the hornet's nest. Sure, it was Israel that conducted the strike, but they wouldn't have done so without informing the U.S. Some some people, some Zionists might say, no, they didn't need to check with the U.S., but whatever. It is inflaming the conflict, and it's going to widen now that Syria is involved. And so we're going to have a deepening crisis in World War III, because now we have two conflagrations in Ukraine and in the Middle East. Moving on to other news from Variety, John Stewart says Apple wouldn't let us do an anti-AI segment and asked us not to have Federal Trade Commission chair as a guest. What is that sensitivity? Like I said, I used to like John Stewart. After he took over The Daily Show from Craig Kilborn, who I also liked, was fine. I mean, it was leftist, but it was okay. Since he left, it sucked. And now he's even gone more woke. And his extreme woke attempts on this Apple podcast and his other shows was ridiculously and not was well. It wasn't well received at all. But this is just AI. It's Apple, and other AI companies don't want you to talk bad about AI, even though there's significant risks. What are the significant risks, you ask? Well, Axios says top musicians among hundreds warning against replacing human artists with AI. Why would they say that? More than 200 artists, including heavy hitters such as Billie Eilish, Katy Perry and Smokey Robinson have penned an open letter to AI developers, tech firms, and digital platforms to cease the use of artificial intelligence, AI, to infringe upon and devalue the rights of human artists, you know, or just humans, period. AI was built to displace human productivity, human employment. New York Times is reporting how one tech skeptic decided AI might benefit the middle class. David Autor, an MIT economist and tech contrarian, argues that AI is fundamentally different from the past waves of computerization. So this guy previously stated that technology displaced humans, much like the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski said and railed against violently, but also in his manifesto, that technology is nurtured and is really built, invested in by the elite to displace human employment or humans. So this guy used to say the same thing. David Autor seems like an unlikely AI optimist, a labor economist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, is best known for his in-depth studies showing how much technology and trade have eroded the incomes of millions of American workers over the years. Indeed, it has. And displaced. But Mr. Autour is now making the case for the new wave of technology, generative artificial intelligence, which can produce hyper-realistic images and video convincing, imitate humans' voices and writing, could reverse that trend. Yeah, I don't know about that. Because here you just had hundreds of artists warning about that. You had Sam Altman warning about that. Then he got fired. And then you got John Stewart being warned by Apple not to talk badly about AI. And now you have AI contrarian or a tech contrarian now changing his tune. That doesn't seem strange. Moving into other news from the Gateway Pundit, breaking campaign finance mule. An investigative reporter, researcher Peter Bergniger, arrested on a day of Wisconsin primary, charged with rarely used crime. Basically, what happened with this guy is he was a journalist that believed that the elections were being rigged. And during his investigation on the day of the primary, he was arrested. Also, news from The Atlantic, the doctor will ask you about your gun now. What happens here is, of course, a man comes into North Royal Health Hospital on Staten Island with a sprained ankle. Any allergies, the doctor asks. How many alcoholic drinks do you have each week, the doctor asks. Well, the doctor asks also, do you have access to firearms inside or outside the home? When a patient answers yes to that last question, someone from his care team explains that the locking up of a firearm can make his home safer. She offers him a gun lock and a pamphlet with information on secure storage and fire safety classes. And all this happens during a visit about the guy's ankle. What we know about this is that anytime you answer questions, it's put digitally onto forms that are connected to the internet. Anything that's connected to the internet can be surveilled or stolen. So if you think your medical records are safe from prying eyes, particularly by intelligence agencies, that's not the case. The CIA and other intelligence agencies, the FBI, can find out if you have mental issues, what pharmaceuticals you're on, and whether or not you have a gun in states that require you register. They also will find out if you have a gun because they are particularly intertwined or surveilling medical records. Heh. A million simulations, one verdict for U.S. economy, debt danger ahead. This is from Bloomberg. The Congressional Budget Office has warned its latest projections that the U.S. federal debt is on a path from 97% of GDP last year to 116% by 2034, higher even than World War II. The actual outlook is likely worse. With uncertainty about so many of the variables, Bloomberg Economics has run a million simulations to assess the fragility of the debt outlook in 88% of the simulations. The results show the debt to GDP ratio, which is important, is on an unsustainable path defined as an increase over the next decade. Semaphore is also reporting on this. Skyrocketing U.S. debt could trigger market shock, CBO chief warns, of course. The U.S. government borrowing has hit unprecedented levels that could trigger damaging market reaction. Really? Federal debt relative to gross domestic product, that is GDP, is likely to rise above World War II levels because we're funding a war that we're not even involved in, technically. Ignoring the debt issue runs the risk of a market shock similar to the 2022 sell-off in Britain. While the U.S. is not there yet, government debt held by the public, which stood at $26.2 trillion, or about 90%, 97% of GDP at the end of the last year, is on an unprecedented trajectory. Bloomberg Economics has projected that in 88% of a million simulations, the country's debt is on an unsustainable path. Bird flu spooks meat and milk traders as virus hits dairy cows. A virus that has killed millions of birds is spreading among U.S. dairy cows, raising concerns that an outbreak may hurt demand for dairy and beef. Well, they've been trying to dissuade us from eating beef for some time, so why not throw an agriculture pandemic in the mix? You know, and just to be honest here for a second, is if you don't know how the Spanish flu started, the Spanish flu started by a German espionage, German spies on American soil infecting. What they wanted to do is infect particularly horses with a mad cow disease. I think it was a hoof and mouth or some sort of disease that affects livestock. And apparently it infected some beef cows or some dairy. And then its first victim was a cook on a U.S. military base in the Midwest. So all tracing of the roots of the Spanish flu traced back to this first case. He was patient zero. So this is also a good way, if you haven't heard that one human was infected from the avian flu that has infected cattle in Texas. So expect this to get worse. We're going to have a culmination of crises before the U.S. election. The New York Times is reporting is giving farmers millions to kill millions of chickens, the way to curb the bird flu. Big poultry farms have received millions of dollars for their losses. Animal welfare group contends that aid reinforces inhumane culling of birds. Well, you have to cull the birds. What do you want, the people to get it? But that's not the point. The point is corporations are getting paid to get people off meat. They're going to eat the bugs. And from this story by Andrew Jacobs, the highly lethal form of avian influenza circulated in the globe since 2021 has killed tens of millions of birds, forced poultry farmers in the United States to slaughter entire flocks, and prompted a brief but alarming spike in the price of eggs. Most recently, it has infected dairy cows in several states, and at least one person in Texas who had come in close contact with the animals, officials said this week. Well, what we also know is that China, this H1N1, which is the avian flu, was purportedly built in a lab, in a genetic lab. It was built genetically in a lab and then either released or it escaped. The story goes on to say, last year, the Department of Agriculture paid poultry producers more than $500 million for the turkeys, chickens, and egg layer and hens that were forced to be killed after the flu strain, oh, it's H5N1 now, was detected on their farms. Also novel. You have to understand this is novel. Where did it come from? Nobody knows. Officials say that the compensation program is aimed at encouraging farms to report outbreaks quickly. That's because the government paid for the birds killed through culling, not those that died from the disease. Earlier reporting, the agencies say, help to limit the virus's spread to nearby farms. Well, indeed, it does. Okay, I don't usually quote the Sun either, but the U.S. Sun says, shield your eyes. Solar eclipse conspiracy theories sweep across the U.S., claiming its path through biblical towns prove its country is wicked. So what they basically said, they said it's going to pass through nine towns or seven towns named Nineveh, the path of the eclipse in the U.S. And so the U.S. Sun gives you all this straw man bullshit. But let me get to the end of this because I reported on this yesterday at length. Oh, did you know that there was a total eclipse that the very day Jonah preached a warning to Nineveh? Nineveh repented. Will America, they wrote. Somebody said on social media. Some have attributed an eclipse of helping the city of Nineveh to receive Jonah's message. However, only two cities named Nineveh are in the path of the totality of the eclipse. But two cities named Nineveh in the United States are in the path of the eclipse. Other cities with the same name only get a glimpse of the total eclipse. But the path of the eclipse passes over cities named Nineveh. So what? Now you're splitting hairs. How many? Well, the people online said seven and it's only two. And is it biblical? Maybe not. But Snopes was among the sites that debunked the claims. Well, that makes me feel better. Well, actually, because I'm a contrarian, so anything I hear coming out of CNN, I believe the opposite. It's the same thing with Snopes. Anything that Snopes debunks, there's got to be some sort of credence to. But the point I'm trying to make here is that its researchers also noted that a lot of people making the claims online were Christians who were viewing the eclipse as a bad omen. Well, I'm a Christian. And what I said yesterday is that the eclipse passing over the United States and the devil comet are indeed a bad omen, because if you know anything about signs and symbols, they're referred to as omens. And in ancientcy, the people looked to the heavens for prognostication, and certain anomalies or events in the sky were seen as omens for a variety of reasons. Now, is it an omen? Do you believe the metaphysical? Is there foreshadowing by events? Well, what? You can't believe that? That's the problem with the communist, the socialist, and the postmodernist is like, everybody's going to believe the same thing. Why? You can't have an individual thought that believes that perhaps spiritually there is some omen. There are signs, el signo. There's a sign from heaven, or in the heavens there's a sign, or maybe you see a black crow. Our crows are thought to be omens. Or other things, rainbows are thought to be omens. So it's an eclipse, and at the same time the eclipse, there's going to be a devil comet. BBC is reporting Oregon recriminalizes drug possession after overdoses skyrocket. Excuse me. In this article by Brandon Drinon. So basically what happened in Oregon is they legalized hard drugs. And so it became a mecca for heroin users. You know, as many places that decriminalize drugs go, and then they not only that, they subsidize drug use in a lot of cases. Or provide, you know, meals and stuff. See, that's the problem when you get people on the street. It's like, you can get three hot meals if you just sleep on the street here, and you could defecate in the street, and they're all the heroin dealers know where to go to supply you with stuff. But in any case, the story goes on to say, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler told the New York Times, the truth is that addiction rates and overdoses rates skyrocketed. Of course, because you become a mecca for heroin users. The mayor, who remained supportive of the measure, 110, accused the state of failing to implement the law effectively. He said they decriminalized the use of drugs before putting the proper treatment services into place. In addition to enhanced penalties for personal use possession, the new law still establishes a way for treatment to be offered as an alternative to criminal penalties. You have to keep people off the street. I don't have a problem. You want to use heroin in your house? I don't care, you know, because there are people that can use heroin responsibly and hold down a job. And, you know, on the weekends or after work, they nod out or shoot up or whatever. But these homeless people on the street, and a lot of people are homeless because if you know anything about drug addiction, you give up everything, family, relationships, employment, everything to get drugs. Vanity Fair, California Forever, the billionaire-backed city no one asked for. So if you don't know about this, there's a group of billionaires that backed building a smart city. And they're making cities smart cities, but they want to build the city state of the future, which is going to be run by AI. So the limited population can rely on AI for everything. This is an indication of the agenda. So if people don't believe what the agenda is, it is to get rid of everything that used to be the way of doing things and move on to a new world order. That has always been the agenda. I don't know why people don't realize that. And so they're already getting ahead of the game because it's going to be a technocracy. And I always told people you have to watch for authoritarianism, not from elected leaders, although they can be authoritarian like Joe Biden, and act unconstitutionally, but you have to look at the technology is what they're going to use to really usher in totalitarianism, because everything is going to be put on the back of AI. And then when AI blows up the world or kills all the humans on purpose, they're going to go, oh, the leaders and the elite are going to say, it wasn't us, it was AI. Sorry. Yeah, so if you don't believe in the agenda,
new world order,
it's there. It's there for all to see. I'm going to read between the lines. We're moving towards a technocracy, a totalitarian technocracy, not just an authoritarian technocracy. And as we talked about yesterday, the AI chatbots, they're leftist, but they're not authoritarian yet. But you have woke and leftist regimes like in Scotland putting in authoritarian laws, particularly speech laws, and as far as this country is concerned, unconstitutional laws that are just really draconian. And so all you have to do is get an AI to enforce that, then you have totalitarian technocracy. Anyway, thanks for joining me today. Don't forget to engage the channel, like, subscribe, leave a comment, click that notification icon. And I'll see you tomorrow. What is today, Wednesday? I'm going to get in touch with Perry tonight. I don't know if we're going to do a special edition of Tuesdays with Perry. Like I've been mentioning, I have a bunch of personal items to take care of, but I want to get him on the line. Maybe over the weekend we'll do, I'm going to start on the weekend and at night doing a special edition, special episodes, special reports, in addition to, so I'm going to be creating a little bit more content, so stay tuned for that. Until then, keep your powder dry, right? You're under attack psychologically, biologically, so stay hip to the trick. Respect. Google me, bitch! Google me! It's a conspiracy, you know? This is a conspiracy, you know? It's all that is a conspiracy.